Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And you look so comfortable. Why don't you stand up while we read the first 16 verses? That way we'll be even at the start. I don't know if I'm supposed to put this on or the other one. I'm not sure. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us has been given, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Father, we pray that you will open this scripture to our hearts this evening. We ask that the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writings and put the message in our word will now inspire our hearts, and by your Spirit, speak to each of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I planned and prayed and laid out this brief 3-week series on the fruit and the gifts, I had something very different in mind for the evening. And I thought that the essence of the evening sermons would be something like a mini class in gifts. We would discuss more the specific gifts. And yet, the relationship between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit have become increasingly plain to me. And this has been a precious time of study to my heart. And that grid of worship in your worship folder, the grid of the fruit of the Spirit, and the relationship to each of our relationships with God, with others, and with self, have a tremendous bearing upon the application of gifts. Last Sunday night, we talked about the relationship of gifts and the giver. The fact that it is important not so much that we find the limelight, that we are the important thing because we have a gift. The important thing that we have a right relationship with the giver, that we belong to the giver. And that this is the basic thing, and it seemed to go along with the idea of our relationship with God, the fruits of love, joy, and peace, and the relationship of the giver to the gift. This evening, as we thought this morning about our relationship with others and patience, kindness, and goodness, it came to me clearly the relationship of gifts, the particular gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, and the church. Of course, we went back to this great chapter on the church, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And this first part of the Ephesian, of this chapter, it speaks of the unity of the church, that the church is one, and yet the diversity of its parts. All gifts ultimately have church-related goals. There's a couple of thoughts that just flew through my mind, and I think I'll take time to let them out. Number one, I appreciate the work Sid Smith did today in cleaning the Red Sea out of here. And number two, I appreciate the fact that you're here. I know this is Super Bowl Sunday, and it may be inconceivable to the average person in the world, but if one of you grasps a concept by the Holy Spirit this evening that changes your life and makes you useful to the kingdom of God, it will be more important than everything that happened in Miami in the Orange Bowl today. Now, you may not believe that, and I'm sure the world doesn't believe it. And it's very important what they're doing down there, isn't it? Because after all, each one of them gets so many thousands of dollars. That makes it very important. But I just want to say, I'm glad you got first things first. And I pray that God will help me tonight to grasp something new and give you something new too. I said last week that it was not the pastor's role to do all the work of Jesus in the church. I said that I'm on a guilt trip a lot of the times because I know there's a lot of work to be done, and someone comes and says, have you visited this person in the community? Have you done this? And I say, no. I left it there last week. But I want to speak this evening about what the pastor's role is. The pastor's role, ultimately, is to develop a community of concern so that together we do take care of all these things. And the church is focal to the gifts. As we read here, the reason that these diversity of gifts are given, verse 12, is so that the body of Christ may be built up. Before we get excited about the gifts of the Spirit, we need to take a good hard look at the church of Jesus Christ. We need to take a realistic look at the church. What is the church of Jesus Christ? And you know, I'm looking at it tonight. You're the church. I'm the church. The church is made of real people, imperfect people, people who are not done yet. God isn't through with us. A lot of times in our minds, somehow we have this idea of the ideal church, the church that's out there somewhere. But the church that we attend, the church of which we're a part, oh, that's not really the church. That's just a group of people getting together. But that's not the picture that we need to see. And the local unit is the church. If there's life in the Spirit, and if there is some part of the spectrum of gifts necessary for the development of maturity, as we read in the 13th chapter, till we're striving for that unity in the faith, until we become mature, then the church is here and the church is now. I think we need to develop a new reverence or recapture an old reverence for the church that Jesus loves and gave himself for. The church is not to be our whipping boy. And all too often we have an idealistic picture of Christian faith and somehow as a pure relationship between us and God. But somehow the church is something that we criticize. The church is something that we tear down. I know the church is not just a denomination, certainly not a building. It's more than a local congregation. And yet we are not here by accident this evening. God has put us together and we are a part of His body. And we need a new reverence for God's people and for God's word and for God's house, if you please, and for God's man and for God's call. I think we've swung almost 180 degrees since I was a little child. Don't run in the church. Be careful. Let's remember. And you know, we go off to our Catholic brethren or our Episcopalian brethren's churches. We don't know how to act. They put us to shame. We say, oh, that's superstition. I want to tell you that we need to recapture a reverence for the church, for the church is focal to the gifts of the Spirit. God gives gifts so that they can be poured through the church. And all gifts ultimately, all real gifts of the Spirit are related to the church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean it has to go through the church of the Nazarene. Doesn't mean it has to go through this church. But it does mean that every believer should have a vital contact with a local group of believers that believe that they are part of the body of Jesus Christ. I mentioned Mark Dyer last week, just coming from Congress 79. Mark Dyer is the rector of Christ Church in Hamilton, Massachusetts, and just has recently become a parish priest. Up until this time, he's a very brilliant man, and he's been kind of a denominational man in the Episcopalian Church. The kind of man that can grasp ideas and can teach them. A very wonderful man. I'd like to get him in our pulpit here sometime to preach. But he said one time he was in Switzerland and he was holding a workshop on worship. And he said when he got through, one of the monks, the Trappist monks were attending. One of the monks came and said, Mark, could I take you for a walk? And he said, yes. And he said, I believe you're a brother in Christ. And so I feel I can say this to you. But if you're not a vital part and a loving part of a local fellowship somewhere, if you're not practicing what you're preaching to us, don't preach any more to us. We don't want to hear it. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Our gifts ultimately are only as powerful as our connection with the body of Christ. The focus of our gifts is to be through the body of Christ, the church. And what Paul is telling us here in Ephesians is that the church is Christ's body. The physical body exists to do the will of the mind. It just doesn't exist to exist. Your heart and my heart, a number of times, have gone out to a family down in New Jersey that has a daughter in the hospital. She's been there now for years. And she can take nourishment, and she maintains a temperature, and she moves occasionally. But she's not really alive. She is alive, and she's not. And the purpose of the church is not just to be a warm body, a fellowship where we maintain a certain temperature and we take nourishment and we exist. But the function of the body, the church, is to do the will of the mind that inhabits us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the mind of the church. And so, while many of the gifts which the Holy Spirit gives us are to maintain the health of the body. You can carry that analogy of the physical body over, and it's such a beautiful illustration. Still, the mind of the body permeates it all. What a marvelous body each of us has, maintaining and so forth. But the mind even permeates those areas of our body that we don't think of as rational. Somehow that will to do, that will to live is there. And even so, the diversity of gifts in love and care and maintenance of the church can and must be infused by the Spirit in each part. Maybe you say, I don't have a very important part in the church. Maybe that's why I mentioned what Sid was doing this afternoon. It's not very exciting, maybe siphoning water out of the church. Just a custodian, just a janitor. But it's very necessary. And it can be transformed. The Holy Spirit can be in that until it becomes actually a part of doing the will and the mind of Christ. And so whatever we do that's given to us, it may not seem like a tremendously spiritual thing. But if it is for the nurture of the body, if it's for the maintenance of the church of Jesus Christ, then the mind of Christ infuses it and fills it and blesses it. But you say, I thought you were going to talk about gifts, and gifts are spectacular. I see on TV all the time where somebody has a gift and there's a miracle taking place. I want to tell you the greatest miracle of all is when a church begins to catch this spirit and these gifts begin to function together. One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is the last part of that 16th verse. As each part does its work, a miracle takes place, and Jesus is revealed to the world in a way that he can't be revealed any other way. There's a blessed thought. I don't have to do all the work of Christ or the church myself, not even the pastor. I don't have to be an expert in every area. Praise the Lord. I can give God my weakness as well as my strength. And I can just admit there are lots of things I can't do, but I trust that God will do it through you or through you. Isn't it a blessed thought that I don't have to do everything that has to be done? You don't either. When you begin to know your own gifts and you're willing to let the Lord lead you, there's times when you can actually say no and get blessed about it. But another blessed thought is that I do have something which I can do. Every one of us has a skill which we can develop, or a gift which the Holy Spirit will give us, which will vitally affect the church, vitally affect the work of Christ through the church. God only knows what any local church could do if every member would catch the vision and say, Lord, let me love my church like Jesus loves the church. Let me get a vision for my church like you have for it. Instead of knocking it or instead of fighting it, let me become a part so that every part of the church would become alive and be vital. Do you know that if every member of this church would just tithe, every member, we wouldn't have any trouble building the top. As it is, we're going to build it, God helping us. But it's going to take some tremendous sacrifice on the part of a nucleus of people that have caught the vision. And the rest of us will kind of go along for the ride. But if we could catch this vision, miracles could take place. You say, well, God, can't God do real miracles? You know, like healing and so forth. Let me tell you, he certainly can. And there are times when God moves in spectacular ways, and I'm not putting that down. My own father, maybe I've said before from the pulpit, and I'll probably say again, was diagnosed of having leukemia at the Ann Arbor Hospital in University of Michigan, and was anointed at an altar of prayer in a Nazarene church on a Sunday night, and was healed and is alive today. You just don't do that, you know. God can do these things. What I'm saying is the big miracles, they're so big we can't even recognize them, are when God helps us to catch this vision and we complement each other and we carry on the work of Christ, and God begins to penetrate the world through a church that catches this vision. We're doing it, but we're doing it on a small scale. We're penetrating Wollaston, quite a large city. The mayor happens to be of a different faith from us, but spent the entire evening at the Malden Church and got up and testified, although he wouldn't know to call it a testimony, but he got up and said that the church and Pastor Perry had made a tremendous difference in his life and had challenged his faith. I don't know about you, but that's a miracle. Jesus penetrating the community, not just through the Church of the Nazarene, not just through our local church, but through his body. And we are a part of his body, and every one of us has a part to do in order to be a part of this tremendous miracle. In the light of this, some of these questions, just a little off center. Should we seek particular gifts? Should I be asking God to let me speak in other tongues? Should I be striving for the gift of healing? I wonder if I could just change the emphasis a little bit and say, do I really belong to God? Does the Holy Spirit possess me? And am I willing to put the emphasis of my life where Jesus wants me to put it? He loved the church and gave himself for it. And somehow we've got a vision sometimes in our mind that God is going to come on us until we're going to become like little John Wesley's and we're going out and save the world. Kind of a solo mission. Let me tell you, when the world is reached, it will be reached through the church of Jesus Christ. And so God has a vital part for me to play. He has a vital part for you to play. And you say, well, I don't want that part. I want a bigger part. I want to do more. Let me tell you, as each part does its work, as you are open to the Holy Spirit, and you clean up the water in the church, and you speak a word of kindness, you bake some cookies for the person across the back fence, but you do it with the Holy Spirit filling you. Down across the course of your life, there will be miracles. God will work through you to change lives and heal people. Mainly, the work of Christ will be done in a miraculous way. God will penetrate this world. The work of Christ will be done. He'll make me a miracle. And then he'll do great things through us, through the churches where we live and where we serve. I don't know how to close anymore except just to turn back to that song we sang a little while ago, number 40. We want the gifts. I want God to use me too. But that deep, supreme desire, Lord, let me be like Jesus. Jesus be revealed in me and in my church. Help us to penetrate this poor world. World that can get so excited about some people playing football. And don't really care. People are going to hell. Shall we stand? Sing that first stanza.
I have one deep, supreme desire that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire. I want to be like Jesus. I want my heart, his throne to be, so that a watching world may see his likeness forth in me. I want to be like Jesus.
Father, dismiss us, we pray. But don't let us get away from this challenge. that each of us really is a vital part of your body, and that as each of us does his part, the whole body can do your work. Lord, we thank you for life. We pray that our life will be more than just existence. Oh, head of the body, Christ, permeate our lives, transform our service, make us miracles so that we can go out and be miracles and do miracles, penetrate our world for you. Amen.